This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about Mike.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Where's the buff dudes at?
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
Oh, all kinds of fire this morning. Brock and Salt, Sales Sports here on 710. SalesSports.com this hour brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life. Thanks to Shannon Dreyer. She was great. Love talking some baseball and getting ourselves ready for this upcoming baseball season, which is getting closer and closer, and definitely starting to think about that trip and getting down there and spring training and the season and all of that. That is that will be a welcome sight for sure. And then Tim Hasselbeck joined us this morning and had some... I don't know. He said a couple of things today about Geno Smith that I think are worth repeating. So we'll play a couple of his best moments coming up here in a half hour at 9:30. Before we do any of that, we present proudly some buy or sell. And I got some answers. I got some buy or sell questions for you today. There's our buy or sell music. I love it. It's got such a good vibe to it. All right, you ready, Brock?
Yeah.
And Maura and Justin?
Let's go.
Buy or sell... Geno gets $35 million a year somewhere.
Wow. Sold.
Whoa. In the back row.
Sold to the lady in the second row. She's an 8, she's a 9, she's a 10, I know. She got ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes.
And I'm about to bid my heart goodbye. I'll
can we please put that one in the mix, please?
I have it.
We don't need to. We got you singing it. You don't think somebody's going to give him $35 million a year?
No.
I think I will. I'm going to buy it. I think somebody is going to. I don't think it's going to be the Seahawks. I'm starting to feel that more and more. It's just over the salary. It's just over the franchise tag. And as Tim was saying today, it's still $20 million off the top of the market. The cap is going up. I think somebody out there, maybe it's the Jets, maybe it's the Giants, maybe it's Washington. You could probably come up with three or four other teams where it's a possibility. Say, hey, we're not that far off in our division, and if we have the right quarterback, we can win it. Yeah, I think it could happen.
I just think this supply chain is going to pump out more than it maybe ever has before. As Timmy said, there's Derek Carr. There's Jimmy Garoppolo, and then there's the next tier, and there's Baker Mayfield, and, well, there may be Jordan Love, and there may be Trey Lance, and, oh, there may be draft picks that you start to these teams fall in love with, and Richardson at Florida, and, yeah, I just feel like that supply chain that as we look at it today, and we've learned this about QB, and heck, Deshaun Watson leaving the Texans, and Russell Wilson leaving the Seahawks, it's just different. It's just different. And I think that market, while there's a lot of needy teams, mm-hmm. Tim made the point about Fitzmagic, and kind of that market years ago, that QB market's a tough one to gauge. I'm just going to say so.
All right, I'll throw this one out to everybody. Justin, I'll start with you. Seahawks starter in week one was on the roster in 2022.
I'll buy it.
Who do you think it is?
I agree with you that I think somebody's going to offer Geno a bunch of money, and I just my gut tells me he's not.
So you think Drew Lock starts game one for the Seahawks next year? Maura?
I'm going to sell.
Sold in the back row.
New quarterback next year comes from the outside.
Yeah. I don't know who.
Could be a draft pick. Could be somebody. Carr. Derek Carr.
You say week one?
Week one starter. Oh. For the Seahawks.
Oh.
Was he on the roster this past year?
I'm going to say bye.
Me too. I'm going to buy it all. I think it's going to be Drew Lock.
Could be one of these. I think it's going to be Geno or Drew.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that market is going to say, man, we love what Geno did, and those numbers don't lie. That's 18 games. It's 18 games. Mm-hmm. A lot of QBs have had one great year.
So the same market that you just said isn't going to pay him $35 million?
Correct.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page with the markets.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, good.
It's not going to pay him that much.
I got it.
All right. I'm consistent.
All right. Buy or sell, the Angels outperformed their 73 wins from a year ago.
Buy.
You have to buy that, right? Even just having Mike Trout healthy.
I mean, now that Artie's back, too.
The one thing that I keep thinking about with the Angels. and I shouldn't even put it out into the universe, but just watching a guy play pitcher and hit, you know, and hit.
Yep.
I just worry so much about that guy getting hurt.
Yep. So do they.
And I know. And it's the one thing that I think could just completely take down any projection. Well, contract.
I think one of the biggest motivators that they've not had in some time is actually getting that guy re-signed. Mm-hmm. And Mike Trout said that repeatedly. Yep. He said it on Mad Dog's podcast. Amora sent to us yesterday that, yeah, man, we are incentivized to win because this guy's a winner and he wants to see winning. And if we don't turn, he's not going to be an Angel. So I think there's going to be some intrinsic motivation as well.
Buy or sell, the Seahawks lose at least one assistant during the hiring cycle this year. Sean Desai has been interviewing for a couple defensive coordinator spots. Mm-hmm. Dave Canales, offensive coordinator spots. Mm-hmm. Buy or sell, the Seahawks lose at least one assistant throughout this process.
I'm buying that.
Really?
Yeah.
Desai?
Yeah.
I'm buying that too.
I am too, and I really wish I wasn't. I'd like to return it.
Now, unfortunately,
that's why Sean decided to stick around.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Sean, the resume tape this year not.
Yeah, I was going to say this year didn't go very well.
In the secondary, it was pretty good. Passing game was pretty good.
Yes, it was.
It was a running game up front. That's not his department. Isn't that Clint Hurt's department?
Well, the only one I've heard so far was a Cleveland Browns interview. Is there more?
Oh yeah, Dolphins. Okay. A couple more. Yeah.
Man, I missed that.
I think the Vikings too.
Jeez, yeah, you're right. I did see the Vikings.
And they're going to have a lot of new head coaches. None of them have been filled yet, right? So those coaches, I'm sure, are going to they're going to lose.
They're all going to be offensive coaches, though. Isn't that the way the league's going?
Well, we'll see.
All right. Buy or sell, the Seahawks will make picks at number 5 and number 20, they currently sit right now.
I'm a lady in a sexy role. She's an 8, she's a 9, she's a 10, I know. She got ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eye. I'm about to bend my heart goodbye.
Gosh, I love that song.
Remember when somebody texted in that we need to find a way to make Brock sing?
Yep.
Boy,
that's really hard.
Tough gig.
Yeah, they were like, challenge. Morris sings, so do that? Brock needs to sing. I was like, Brock sings every day.
Yeah,
I try. Who is that? John Michael Montgomery?
That is John Michael Montgomery.
Yeah, my boy John Michael Montgomery.
Nice.
I'm with you. I sell. I think they make pick 5, trade pick 20. At least that's what I want them to do.
Yep, me too. I don't think you planted a better seed in my soul than that one.
Really?
Yeah, that A.J. Brown, that little cop. I don't know where you stole that from or you like that with what Philly did. But
what do you mean stole it?
But once you...
Hold on. What is that? Dude, what's with the shots today? First, it was that Luis Castillo idea was stupid.
That was a dumb take.
No, it wasn't.
I watched him pitch 2 playoff games, but yeah, I'd really want to see him.
Oh, hold on.
In Peoria.
Before we talk about stealing things, where'd you get that line, Brock Heward?
What do you mean?
Before we talk about stealing things, where did you get that line, buddy?
Lundberg 3?
Exactly. Don't
tell
me. Oh,
did he text you too?
No, I saw him.
Sing me a song.
Don't you be giving me grief about my stupid takes or stealing things while you're literally stealing from other people in the building.
You have planted that seed wisely, and now I can't get it out of my mind.
Darn right.
Honestly, the A.J. Brown trade, you got to find that
sucker out
there.
Where are you guys at? Buying or selling Seahawks pick at 5 or 20? And 20.
Oh, I'm selling.
Yeah, I'm also selling.
All right, good. We're all in agreement.
Sold
here.
In the back row.
Last one. Kraken acquire at least 2 more players by the trade deadline.
2?
2.
I'm buying.
I am too.
Triple buy.
Yep.
I think you quadruple buy? We got a quad?
A defenseman of some kind. Not. At least one, if not 2 defensemen. Mm. And you're going to need somebody up front. Maybe it's somebody down the middle as a center who can, you know, win a faceoff now and again. And I'd still like to see somebody with some toughness.
Yeah. In the pit, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Goes down.
No more shots. Final 50 minutes.
Oh,
no, I'm done.
Whatever.
I'm done. No, I've
fine.
Hurt you.
You know,
I've hurt.
Fine.
No.
I don't want you to stop on behalf, you know, because of me. Just
no, my tongue has been inappropriate.
No, it's fine. My James mom's won. Here. I'm,
he's not
I'm thinking
lying.
About guilt quite
Before
a bit.
Before you came on, Brock, Salk was telling us about how he likes when things get chirpy on the broadcast.
I do.
Uh-huh. And I was like, well, but you don't like it when I do. And so, like, we're just trying to give the listeners
uh-huh.
what Salk
what
thinks
they want.
Is
good radio.
Good
listening. All right, that's sold. I'm going to sell that. Moving on. All right, let's see. We're going to play you some Tim Hasselbeck coming up in 20 minutes. He said a couple of things about Geno Smith today that warrant going back to for sure, because they tell a story of who he is and who he could be here for Seattle or potentially somewhere else. So stick around. That's right after Need to Know Next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Not one, not two, not three, four, five, six, seven, eight, or nine, but 10 picks in the NFL draft for your Seahawks this year. There was some question about whether or not the 10th would be there, but it will be because John Reed, who they traded with Baltimore, right? He didn't do enough, and so they keep their own pick. Regardless, they've got each of their own seven, plus an extra first, an extra second, and an extra fifth. So they got the weaponry, they've got the assets, whatever they want to do in this draft, they are perfectly capable of doing it, and I think that puts John Schneider in a great position.
Hey, can you play me that cut, Mr. Schneider?
I can.
When he joined.
We didn't need to draft for need, if you will. We really were able to get in a comfortable place with the staff and say, hey, look, these are the players. We're going to keep taking good players through throughout the draft, and we're not going to reach. And, you know, we're going to keep plugging away and doing what we do and moving around. And, you know, the players and the staff did a great job of, when I say staff, I'm not just talking about the coaches. I'm talking about, you know, Mo Kelly and EK and David Strickland and Sam and the strength conditioning guys and everybody. Like, they did a great job developing these guys.
Rinse and repeat, whether that's 10 times, whether they trade and that's 12 times. There's a couple spots that they don't have need. Offensive tackle, probably right near the top of the list. But outside of that, Salky, find me the best players available, man. Nose tackle, D end, pass rusher, linebacker, center, guard, fullback. Find me just the best dudes, the most difference-making dudes out there, and keep on.
And see what you're able to do with it. But make sure they're near the line of scrimmage, please. I mean, I'm with you on a lot of that, Brock. I don't care if you find a difference-making dude a corner right now. I don't think you need it. And while I understand you can't draft for need, I think you can stay away from, like, drafting certain positions. And it's not to say corners aren't valuable, but I'm happy enough with what you've got. I really want to see them make sure they make all those guys better. That's why I said earlier today we were doing a little, who should stay, who should go. I might be the only voice in town who doesn't think that Cody Barton should go. I'm fine with Cody Barton, potentially, if you put some of the right pieces in front of him.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, Brock's been talking about it throughout the morning, but it does sound like Sam Huard is zeroing in on a new home, and multiple reports say it's going to be Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. His high school coach is there as the offense coordinator. Who's the head coach there?
Your buddy.
Paul Wolf, right?
Your buddy.
Is that real? Sammy's not going to go play for Paul Wolf, is he? Yeah. How awkward is that going to be for you?
It won't be awkward.
Really?
Great guy. No. Little brother Luke was on staff with Paul at Sac State when they turned that program around.
Right.
Paul is an excellent O-line guy. And is he the face of a Power 5 program in a small market? No. No, is he a pretty cool guiding force that treats young people very well and has hired Sheldon Cross? Yes. So here's what I do know on the Sammy Huard front. Expect a decision this week. When you do, he will be on this show first and foremost. I think he has learned through this process of the last few years that people matter, not perception, and that fit is a much better deal over flash. Multiple Power 5 schools have reached out to him over the last week and a half through this process, would like him to visit. He took a visit to Cal Poly, and I would assume and expect a decision here this week.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Kind of a busy day in baseball. First of all, Hall of Fame results coming out. Todd Helton, Scott Rolen, both projected to, I think, make it. Billy Wagner is going to be probably just short in what is his eighth attempt. So maybe next year, number nine will be the one for Billy Wagner, who I'd really like to see get in there.
Is that a hard-throwing lefty?
Yeah.
Reliever?
If you remember the story, he's right-handed. When he was a kid, he broke his arm. And while he was in a cast, started throwing lefty to be able to play in Little League because he loved it.
Wow.
And turned out that he could throw 97 and was one of the most dominant closers of his time. I just think that story's incredible, and I always really enjoyed watching him pitch. So I'll be rooting for him to get into the Hall of Fame. And, of course, Mariners fans incredibly happy today as Aaron Goldsmith will be sticking around after some stories were out that he was being considered in St. Louis. Apparently, Mr. Goldsmith has decided that this is home.
Bases loaded, two outs. Here comes the payoff. Julio blasts this out to center. This is driven back by the wall.
Calls like that will continue on Root Sports and here on Seattle Sports on 710. And in fact, Mr. Goldsmith will be joining Wyman and Bob today at 4 o'clock.
You know, Shannon Dreyer said it best. So often in the social media realm, I mean, all you got to do is click on your Twitter and what have you, and it's just negative. It's negative. It's fighting. Who's gotten into this brawl? Where's this beef? And not that case.
Golfers throwing tees at each other.
Yeah, I like Sobel's point about that, by the way, that that's basically a basis or a
bench-clearing
brawl when it comes to golf, when a Patrick Reed flicks his tee at Rory McIlroy today. But you heard, but you saw it everywhere. It, just the sense of relief and excitement for Mariners fans, because Aaron's done an amazing job carving a connection, I think, with his co-workers, certainly that organization, and most importantly for that microphone, the fans that that have grown to really love his wit, his humor, his sarcasm, and those big, big calls.
All right, there you go. That is everything you need to know. Of course, we do that quarter past every hour here on Seattle Sports on 710 and the new Brock and Salk show. And you can, if you miss anything, right, you can go and find it, of course, at seattlesports.com or at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. If you want to leave us a 5-star review, we'd appreciate it. We're really hoping to get that to a 4.7 on Apple Podcasts. If you're over at seattlesports.com today, I hope you'll read Joe Fan's column. I thought that was really well done. Did you read that?
I did.
It was really good. And I think it has a, I agree with essentially everything he wrote. It really, I think, explains the market for Geno Smith and what it will look like and how NFL teams are going to make their decisions this offseason. Take a look at it. I want to go through a little bit of it as we go through what Tim Hasselbeck said, because I think there's a lot related between the two, and I think they're very much have to do with each other. We'll go through it next before we rank things at 9:45. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports Station.
Well, after a brief challenge this morning, Justin and I were very transparent with the people, and we got some help, and we got a pretty good ranking coming up here in 15 minutes.
We could always do clubs again.
I suggested that to you last night.
I know, I love that idea.
When in doubt,
you feel like your bit may run dry?
I think there's a fear. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I think that there is.
I think every comedian has that fear.
Yeah, right? Like how many times can I go back to this well? But then you just do Wells ranked, and true. You got David Wells, and
I mean, would argue since a lot of the stuff you have in there gets used for multiple things you've already tapped out.
Yeah,
this is us helping our future selves.
We've played
this
song in 4 different ranks.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, okay.
What? What's that? Now I'm confused. I don't know.
You feel like you're going to lean into Maura and I and kind of a linear.
All it is a callback.
We'll bequeath it to you guys at some point. We'll just let you kind of roll with it from there. Okay. How's that sound?
Great.
We talked to Tim Hasselbeck earlier this morning, which is always fun. Tim is just one of my favorites. Fun guy. He's an interesting, kind of smart, different thinker who doesn't get too caught up with what other people are saying and instead says what he believes to be true.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that when we asked him about the Seahawks and what they accomplished this year, in fact, the thing that I believe he's good at is exactly what he praised them for.
They seem to be unafraid of, you know, what maybe the outside perception is. And the reason I say that is in terms of what everyone thought of Russ, you know, they maybe had different feelings, and maybe some of them were personal and maybe some of them were performance, but whatever it was, they had their own belief about how things would go with him.
And then Brock, when you asked him, hey, how many teams feel like that? He's like, not many. 5, 10. I mean, like, just not many teams.
Nope. Not many have that conviction and have that foundation of their conviction. Pete Carroll has it. John Schneider has it. Those two have had continuity that's truly unique in this league. And I do think the four remaining teams have it in different ways. I'd put a Pittsburgh Steelers through the years on that, the Green Bay Packers through the years on that. You know, I think there are others that clearly the Baltimore Ravens that know who they are and just don't, you know, just fly in the wind with, the league's going this way and, you know, we better fall in line with everybody else. But a majority of it does. A majority of the league turns over so often. There's 10 offensive coordinator jobs open right now. That's a third of this freaking league.
Crazy.
It's just nuts. There's 6 jobs, right? Head coaching jobs. None of them have been filled right now because I think people are realizing, like, gosh, I don't even know if there's 6 qualified candidates. You know, that one guy that we took a flyer on, he's in Thailand. He took a one-way flight. Cliff's not even left his hut over there in Thailand and coming out. So, you know, to have stability and to have just a consistency of conviction is a big deal.
So what does that mean then for Geno Smith's market? That becomes the question. How much is the league going to value this guy? Because it affects what you're going to do. And if you get a moment, please go over to seattlesports.com and read Joe Fan's article on it or his column. It's funny. I was going to write up some of my thoughts from yesterday on Geno and turn it into something. Mm-hmm. And then I clicked on the website. I was like, oh, Joe's basically done a lot of that already. Yeah. And I think he did a great job in how this is going to be essentially a case study for how the league is viewing quarterbacks right now. Nobody disagrees that from like the current standpoint, the comps on Geno, he deserves 35 plus million a year, right? If you look at the current comps, and I'm reading here from Joe's column, there are 13 guys making more than 30 million a year. And he had better years than a lot of them. He was better than Russ, 49 million, better than Kyler Murray, 46, Deshaun Watson, 46, Derek Carr, 40 and a half, Dak, 40, Stafford, 40, Wentz, 32, Ryan, 30. And if you throw in Ryan Tannehill at 29 and a half, it's a lot of guys who he has outperformed, even though they're making $30 million plus.
Mike, men lie.
I get it.
Mike,
I understand.
Lie.
Thank you.
Numbers don't lie.
Yes, I get it. Thank you, Brock. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
So I understand the idea from Geno's point of view of, hey, I'm worth it. But the other side of it is going to be, but none of those teams are winning with those guys. Why would you make the same mistake that they are?
That's
and
right.
I think the Seahawks are going to have to try to figure that out. And that's why this will get messy between the two sides. So how does it end up working out? How do you find common ground? Tim Hasselbeck says it's not about the overall contract number, but about something else.
Sometimes we talk about these things like, all right, this guy's making 50 a year. And then this guy's making 30 a year. The question is, when can I get out? So if you're going to pay Geno 30, you know, if for the 2023 season, that's fine. What'd you have to guarantee him? Did you have to guarantee him? Did you sign him to a 4-year, you know, $100 million contract where, you know, he's guaranteed 60? And so for all intents and purposes, he's your starter for the next 2 years. And, you know, you're on the hook for 60 over two. Like, I probably am not doing that. Just being real. Like, I'm probably not, but like, not get convinced of maybe doing that.
Yeah, based on what this market is doing. And what he is alluding to, Mike, is why D'Amico Ryans, right? Smart. Dudes play their tails off for him. D coordinator there in San Francisco was a tremendous player, is innovative, has just done phenomenal things. Why he said to Arizona, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not even going to interview there. Like, you guys are hamstrung for years to come. It's why some have looked at the Denver situation, but like, nope, no, thank you. You have no out on Kyler Murray. You know, there's not really an out on Russell. There's $165 million guaranteed dollars.
That's the problem the Seahawks are having right now with Jamal Adams.
That's right. Like that deal kind of hamstrung you. And yeah, there's not an easy out. You cut him. There's $23 million of dead money. And that agent did his job, and Russell's agent did his job, and Kyler's agent did his job.
So do you
because
think
the player wants to try to make sure it's encumbered and it's entangled, and you can't just cut me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have an out that says, yeah, bad year, I get beat up, I'm done. You know, like you're going to be on the hook. And that is where I don't believe the Seahawks are in any way going to be through this process on the hook. They're done with that.
I certainly hope you're right. But the market is still the market, right?
It is.
So I think the question here, and Joe asked this in his column as well, do you think there's going to be a massive reset to the quarterback market in the NFL? Are teams starting to understand that that is a question, and will they essentially reset what the market looks like after looking at some of those contracts we just mentioned and saying none of those are good deals for their teams?
That's right.
There's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at the very least contracts of 30 million plus that you can't win with.
Yep.
Right now. Can't win with Russ, can't win with Deshaun, can't win with Kyler Murray, can't win with Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, all at that price.
Yep.
Are you sure you want to jump into that world?
That's right. Or do I want to go into this world where Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, and I know the numbers are pretty clear. I mean, more put together, Mike, in this NFC West, just in the NFC West, you know, when John Schneider said we have stability, you know, there's been all this turnover. All these other teams have had these higher end first round picks, and look around at who they've and whom they have drafted. And some of the biggest bust rate is at QB in that top 10. One will work, one will flail. And is that the road that you want to go down? The teams are going to go down because as much money as they spend and they go through all of this projection game
itself.
The time
that you spend dealing with a young quarterback,
right.
There's a lot invested in that as well, which costs you. It's costing the Jets right now. It costs the Cardinals before they decided to double down on the mistake and pay the guy.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I think that's well said. The other option, though, is Geno doesn't have any of those risks. He's a good quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's shown it. And not only is he capable on the field, he can do it off the field as well.
I saw a maturity in Geno Smith that you see out of really good quarterbacks, right? Like how he answered questions, how when things weren't going great, how he handled it, how he didn't assume success was going to happen. Like I thought you saw a maturity out of him that you want to see, that honestly, like you don't see or you haven't seen previously out of Drew Lock, at least publicly, that you haven't seen out of somebody like Kyler Murray, that you haven't seen out of Zach Wilson. And I think that is really important.
I would agree with like 97% of that. Totally agree with it. On the Geno front, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would say the one thing that the Bronco country market would tell you, the people that cover it and all around the team, is that Drew was actually very good in that way too. That he had a way with the press and he had an honesty and a transparency and an ownership, and you know, on the field, maybe there was some goofiness at times or whatever, and people blasted him for getting together during COVID. Remember when they like suspended the whole QB room but you know, he's in there trying to get work in and whatever. And, you know, sitting too close to the other guys and got busted. But by and large, people in this market, they put his accuracy on blast and his eyes and his anticipation on blast. Mm-hmm. The off the field stuff, they wouldn't. They'd actually say, no, he's a pretty great guy, and how he handled the Teddy Bridgewater, and this year, how he handled the competition with Geno, and how he owned, his struggles in the preseason with some picks and everything else. So, that's the only thing there with Tim. But when it comes to Geno, he's 100% right.
Yeah. So we got a text here, and I think this is an interesting one from the 425. It says, well, quote, I'm just not buying a house in Wallingford for $950,000. Okay, well, then you don't get to live in Seattle, he says. Have fun in Buckley. Try and keep up. Same logic. First of all, good luck finding a house in Wallingford for $950,000.
Why the shot at Buckley?
Not sure that's going to happen either, but...
Why's the shot at Buckley?
Regardless. I think the difference here, because I understand that, which is, hey, if you want what's out there, then this is what you got to pay for it.
That's right.
I think the problem is the Seahawks look at it and say, well, but there are other ways to get that house in Wallingford. Maybe I don't want to spend all the money on it. Maybe I want to take on a roommate. Maybe I want to rent one. Maybe I want to do this, that, and the other. And there are some other ways to do it. Maybe I want to buy a lot and build on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they have some of those options because they feel empowered by what happened last year.
Yep.
Because quite frankly, Geno Smith last year was not a full price house in Wallingford.
No, he wasn't.
Right? I mean, he was spending nickels on the dollar.
You
to get
what
that
you pay
kind
for,
of
right? Oh, you get what you pay for. Yeah. Last year, you're going to get what you pay for. Oh, Geno and Drew, what a joke. You're going to get what you paid for. You're going to be the worst team in the league. They're not even on a tier. They're not even in the top 35. What a joke. They're going to be 1-8. Play the cowherd sound.
And the problem is, Brock, if and when you do spend all of the money on the house in Wallingford or wherever, I
can't
keep saying
it.
950 because it's going to be worth a lot more than that at the moment. But
9.5.
There
can't
you go.
Furnish it.
Well, let's just go 2. You can't furnish it. You can't go travel. You can't get food. You can't eat out. You can't do all of the other things. You can't, send your kids to horse riding lessons or whatever the heck else you want to do.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any money. And just like we all have budgets, I mean, not Brock, but the rest of us
Watch
have budgets
mouth.
in our lives where we can only spend a certain amount. So do the Seahawks,
yep.
Not because their owner's cheap, but because of the salary cap.
And oh, by the way, if we're going to continue down this stream of consciousness and thought in your very own division now, mm-hmm. You have you got some waterfront. You got some. And are you kidding me? You kidding me that they're going to do this for the next couple years with Mr. Irrelevant making 400 grand at that position?
And they're going to open up the money that they were spending on Jimmy?
And they could trade Trey Lance, and they're going to free up Jimmy Garoppolo's money? No, that's not fair.
What do you think they get for Trey Lance? Not much, right?
Probably not.
Probably like a mid-round pick or something like that, but maybe it's worth it to them. So you never really answered my question. Are they going to reset the quarterback market? Is the league going to reset the quarterback market?
The league is going to fight, and you've already seen this, like, you know what, Lamar Jackson, to not ever do a Deshaun Watson deal again. That's not going to happen.
Right.
That's going to be the outlier.
Are they going to try to reset the Matt Ryans and the, you know, the Dak Prescott?
Oh, they're going to try. Yeah, they're going to try.
Will they succeed?
But emotionally, you know what happens. Emotionally, you know what's going to happen with these six jobs when they get filled. And you know that, that's the one position that people, you know, the dust will settle. Emotions will calm down. You know, the playoffs will end. The Super Bowl will end. And we'll get into a period a few weeks later. And like, you know what? Actually, Dak Prescott did some really good things. I know I hated him. And I know he can't be a Cowboy and blah, 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 blah. You're going to, things will emotionally settle down to a degree, Salk. And then they will flare up. And we need that answer. We need that guy. We need 30 touchdowns, 4,500 yards. So, no, I don't think with the instability. If Tim Hasselbeck, let me, long-winded answer. Sorry.
Okay. That's
apologize.
Okay.
Late in the show. Oh. Trying to stall on ranked. long-winded answer. If Tim Hasselbeck's right, that 20 of the teams kind of fly by the night, right? They are in the wind. And at the whim and kind of teeter this way and totter that way. And there's really 12 that have great stability and conviction. Yes. Those other 20, I'm sorry. Yeah, they will. They will reset, you know, or they will not be able to be on one accord and reset this entire QB market. Not going to happen.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they're going to either just because of it's the NFL. And I think it's really hard for them to kind of think that way. Which is a shorter way of saying what you just said. And that's why I think Geno's going to end up getting paid. And I don't think the Seahawks are going to match. And so I feel like just in the last few days, I've taken a bit of a turn in terms of what I'm predicting. And it just, his tweet on Friday kind of made me view the whole situation differently. That maybe the Seahawks just aren't valuing him the way he wants to be valued. And I get it. If he wants to go look somewhere else, looks at those comps and says, yeah, I can go make a whole lot more money that would change my life. Sorry, but I think I just got to go do that. Let's do some ranking.
Got a list? Oh, that's good because we forgot ours.
Why are we ranking people?
I don't remember. Consistency. Like, that's what they lack. Consistency.
We'll take that list and put it in some kind of order for you. Eventually. Making it as complicated and convoluted as we can along the way. Mr. Simon.
Nah, man, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough.
This is Chaos, brought to you by Carter Volkswagen at 9:45 every day on Brock and Salk.
All right, it's called Ranked, and it's going to be in order. We're going to have some honorable mentions, and then, you know, a top five in order.
Good job, Maura.
Sheesh.
Thank you.
Chaos reigns. What
embrace
can I tell
you? The chaos.
Darn right. Well, today,
the chaos.
As we talk through what the Seahawks are going to do with their picks and how many picks they have in the draft, Brock, 10 of them. Picks ranked.
And by the way, good news, Mel Kiper on the show early next week.
Oh,
Tuesday.
That'll be fun. Yep. Still trying to stall, I see.
And Mock Draft 1.0 coming out tomorrow. He was hoping to be on tomorrow, but it'll be on TV all over the place.
All right, so next week, Mel.
Yep.
Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. All right, picks ranked. We've got some Sierra. I know you know this one, Brock. You and Molly dance to this one often.
No, we like Level Up. That's what we dance.
Oh, the new one. This is off the My Goodies era, so a little too early.
I would imagine there have to be 1,000 country songs about pickup trucks, right? Pick up the pieces, good, ain't that good? Pick up the past and just let it go. Put it down and over me, never. All right,
some Dierks Bentley.
They like that in Buckley.
Yeah, you know what else they like? Yep. Wally's. I was just thinking about that. Yep. Wallingford's got Dick's Burgers. Uh-huh. Buckley's got Wally's.
You ever been out to
Wally
Buckley?
Should be in Wallingford.
You ever been out to Buckley, Salky?
Buckley?
Yeah.
No. Where is it?
Out there by Enumclaw.
We'll take you.
Been to Enumclaw?
Yeah.
You have?
I think so.
I think you would like Wally's a lot.
I don't know why I wouldn't.
Oh, it's a whole song.
Yeah. song about a pickup truck.
That's Kings Leon. That's not country. That sort of is.
They've sort of.
So we're doing picks because the Seahawks have officially 10 picks.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not because Patrick Reed picked up his tee and flicked it at Rory McIlroy.
We could have. A lot of people we could put on this list today, Brock. Carl Pickens. George Pickens. Kenny Pickett.
Tiny Hands.
Brian Piccolo.
Mm.
You got pickpockets. You got Picasso. Don't leave him off. Pretty good. Pretty
I thought
good
you'd
artist.
Sneak that in as top five.
No,
there.
I like Picasso, but he's not going to make the top five in this.
The artist or the musician?
Well, the artist. T. Boone Pickens, Brock, oil magnet.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State guy, right?
Yeah.
Piccadilly Circus.
Mm-hmm.
You know a game you can play, Brock, at a little like family night?
Get pickle?
Not pickle. No, it's not win, lose, or draw, but...
Pick 'em.
Pictionary?
Oh, I like Pictionary.
Pick a card, any card.
Yeah.
I like Pictionary back in the day.
If you want to work something out from between your teeth, you're going to need a...
Toothpick.
Right. Now, if you are stuck in the ice, you're going to need a...
Ice pick.
Or a pickaxe.
Yeah.
Justin's favorite food?
Pickle.
Pickles, baby.
That's right.
The Portland pickles.
You do like pickles?
Oh, man, I'm obsessed. I got a pickle tattoo.
Brock, you don't know that he has an Instagram page dedicated to pickles?
Yeah.
No.
Reviewing pickles.
Do you like the Chick-fil-A pickle?
Not a big fan of the Chick-fil-A pickle, I don't.
You don't like that on the bun? On the Chick-fil-A sandwich?
I'm saying it's not a top five pickle.
Brock found out last week, by the way, that you had a movie.
Oh, really?
He didn't know about that.
Didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Brock, let me know. I'll send you... you know what? I'll trade you a bottle of Passing Time for a password to watch the movie. How's that?
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a good deal.
What a pickle.
You know what this is, Brock?
Seawald ready. Needs a double play. We're straight to Bennett. 10 to get a walking lead. Throw to third to get him in a rundown. Gino running him back to the bag. Now to Frazier. Frazier flips to JP, and they get the out.
Mm. Did you like practicing the pickle?
I do. That's a pickle and on a pickoff play.
Wow.
A pickle off a pickoff.
How fun was that back in the day, like in Little League Baseball?
Throw it and keep running.
You just do the pickle drill.
Right? Just throw it and keep running.
Just think of Sandlot.
Throw it
running
and
back
running.
To the lowest base. If you're the base runner, right in the highest base.
Yeah. This one got just outside the top five. That is the Silver Sun pickups.
Yeah.
Unfamiliar.
Using guitar picks.
Unfamiliar territory.
It's a huge song.
And paying homage to Smashing Pumpkins all the way through.
Mora, how you doing?
I would have guessed that was Taylor Swift.
Does sound a lot like her. I mean, it's a man singing, but yeah, I just got to see where you came up with that.
Not that far off. Come on,
let's pick up the piece from The Who. Mora would like us to pick up the pace so that we could end up getting out of here on time. She doesn't have to listen to this anymore.
No, she'd like to pick up this segment throwing the trash.
You got Pickering, Ontario. Pickering Passage. What's a
Pickering, Ontario?
Yeah, Pickering.
Huh. Pick and pull.
What's a pick and pull?
Pick and pull.
What is that?
Wrecking yard.
Oh, okay.
You know, pull parts off cars, fix it yourself.
You ever been to a wrecking yard, Saul?
No. You know who probably hangs out there? Pickpockets.
I love going to a wrecking yard. My dad's favorite thing, too.
A wrecking yard?
What'd
you do there?
We'd go to Spalding's.
How do you find parts, bro?
We'd go to Spalding's in Spokane a lot.
All right. We found a grill on Waltier's old like Pontiac. We had to go to this wrecking yard.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Are you
remember
ready?
Stand By Me, too? The junkyard?
That's true. The junkyard, yeah.
Yeah. Remember Sick'em? Pick'em?
Chopper's the name of the band, right?
Pick'em.
Or the
Sick'em.
Dog, rather. All right, top five picks. Number five.
Long throw. That's intercepted. Served up for Kobe Bryant. Touchdown.
You know what that is? Do you need some help? Couldn't figure it out? Here's a little more.
Blocked by Tunis. It's picked off. They're going to come the other way. And this is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
There you go.
No, there's only one pick.
It's a pick six.
Pick six. Pick six.
All right. Well, you better have something in the top four here, or I'm...
Well, that's a pick six. Number four.
Pitch the click. Final game of the series. Mike, who's yours?
I think clearly it's going to be Tui Asisopo today. He's swung the bat well the last few times he's got an opportunity to play. I expect him to hit his first big league home run today. He's going to get a good count today. He's going to get a fastball from Talent, and he's going to hit it out of left center field, probably, maybe in the second deck.
3-1 pitch on the way. Swung on and belted in the left field. It just missed
the second deck. Fly, fly, fly away. I don't believe it. I see the light. I believe you, Mike. Unbelievable. It is 2-0. Mariners.
Oh, it makes me tear up.
So good. Rick's laughter is so funny.
We believe Mike.
All right, there you go. The great Mike Blowers and a pick to click on Matt Tuiasosopo. Number
ever.
Three. Was that the one you were hoping was in there?
Oh, it was amazing. No.
Oh, really?
No, that's amazing.
It's possible we've missed one of them.
No,
Brock's
you better
then.
Not. You better not.
Number three. That would be the Wicked, Wilson Pickett. In the Midnight Hour. He also did Land of a Thousand Dances, in case you're looking to put all that together. Number three on this list.
I guess this means American Pickers isn't making my...
It did not make the list.
Not
sorry.
Making the podium.
No.
Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny, that making the podium?
I'm not a big Tenacious D guy.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Okay. Maybe I should be more of one, but I'm not.
Hmm.
I don't know what to tell you. Brock, you're not going to care much for number two. But that's the Pixies. Huge influence. Like, you don't get Silver Sun pickups without the Pixies.
I would agree with that.
Right? All the Quiet Loud stuff, the Smashing Pumpkins and Nirvana, a lot of bands in the 90s, it all comes from the Pixies. So that's number two.
Oh, no.
What is it, Brock? What is it that you wanted in here so bad?
The greatest pick in Seahawk history.
Yeah, I knew it was going to go there.
Are you serious?
What's the greatest pick in Seahawk history? But it's the tip, not a pick.
Oh.
It's not a pick.
Oh, my gosh.
Tips ranked next time?
Oh, my God.
If it was a tip,
I
if
mean,
we were doing tips
after
ranked.
After it was tipped, wasn't it picked?
I mean, eventually.
Oh, my God.
But that's not what it's famous for. It's not a pick. No
like
pick.
The
and that's
pick
why
and
number
roll.
That's why number one.
I know what I saw.
But there was no pick. I did not pick. There was no pick.
I gotta go.
No. No pick.
No pick. Brock, that's a tip. Not a pick. It's a tip. No pick. No pick.
Rescued.
Bump and Stacey coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. with another beautiful ranking scheduled for 9:45. All right, everybody. That's all I got. Hey.
Barn.
Picked me up off the floor. See ya.